Good morning and special greetings to our visitors, especially our brethren from Malaysia. Now this has, as it has always been said, Easter Sunday, and to us, Easter does not matter as a day. What matters is what it professes to celebrate. And it is important for us to know what the event was, because that event is what we celebrate, not on Easter, but every Lord's Day that we gathered. The very reason why it is called Lord's Day is that it is the day on which the Lord rose from the dead. And of course, the significance of the resurrection is that it gives meaning to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let me discuss what are the reasons for the controversy surrounding Easter. Well, you know, the Western Church and the Eastern Church have disagreed on many things, even on dates. For example, the Christmas we know is what we celebrate on December 25 based on the Western Church promulgation. The Eastern Church, based in Constantinople then, now Istanbul, has always celebrated, even today, January 6th as Christmas Day. And so the difference extends to Easter. There were people in the early century called the Quattro Decemanians. They were those who wanted to fix Easter on April 14. They could have extended a little bit more on April 20, but they wanted it April 14 because they calculated that was the Passover at that Jesus died, so they considered it as April 14, but the Western Church disagreed. They wanted Easter to fall on a Sunday, so they have made quite a complicated calculation. Easter must be celebrated, according to them, on the first full moon after the equinox. So equinox, March 23, so the first full moon of a Sunday after that is Easter, and then they calculate back 40 days before. That's Ash Wednesday, so the 40 days of Lent from Ash Wednesday until Easter Sunday. But again, I said in my message kanina, they excommunicated each other because they would not agree on the date, and this is so vain. This is so much waste of energy, because the significant thing is what happened. And so we will consider the events were series this month is on the bloody cross and the empty tomb. This has become the historic symbols of Christianity. In the last two lessons, we considered the cross, and today we shall be considering that other historic symbol of Christianity, and that is the empty tomb. Together, they constitute what we call the gospel. Christ died for our sins, raised on the third day. This is Paul's definition of what the gospel constitutes. Anong ebanghelyo? Walang ebanghelyo kung hindi kasama ang kamatayan ni Yesu Kristo at ang kanyang krus. Now, how important is this, that the historic symbol of Christianity is an empty tomb? Well, I'm sure you all know what this is. This is the Kaaba, the burial site of Muhammad, the greatest prophet of Islam, and it is required of every Muslim to visit in a pilgrimage at least once in his lifetime, Mecca, and there celebrate their prophet. And millions of Muslims around the world every year go to Mecca in order to do their religious duty, and that is to visit the burial site of Muhammad, known as the Kaaba. So you have this not only in Islam. There are many other religions where their holiest site is the burial place of their founder or of their great prophets. Well, in the case of Christianity, we don't have that. Even though many Christians think it is a pilgrimage for them to visit Jerusalem and pay their respects to the Holy Sepulchre, that is not correct. There is no holy shrine for the burial site of Jesus because it is empty. And the reason why it is empty, of course, is because of the resurrection. So itong ating titingnan ngayon, the facts of the resurrection. Now, Jesus' cross would have been meaningless had he remained dead. That's the long and short of it. Walang kahulugan ang kanyang kamatayan sa krus kung nanatili siyang patay. He would have been, again, just one of the many pretending messiahs whose popularity was only until he died. After that, he fizzles out. And that, of course, is not what Jesus has become. Why has he become the figure that is recognized today is because of the claim that he rose from the dead. Now, of course, this is what the enemies of Christianity will contest. Ayaw nilang bigyang pagkilala na totoo na nabuhay si Jesus mula sa mga patay. So there is a denial. There are attempts to deny the physical resurrection of Jesus. And there are several ways of doing this. One is by way of rationalization. Ang sinasabi nila, we don't know of such a thing that the dead man rose from the dead. And because it has not happened except the claims of the New Testament, therefore that could not be given credence. So yan ang kanilang sinasabi. Hindi nangyari, eh bakit natin sasabihin nangyari kay Jesus? And that is of course an argument that only adds to the argument of Christians, because the argument of Christians is that Jesus' resurrection is unique. So to say that in order for Jesus' resurrection to have happened, there must be other such events is to precisely tanggalin yung uniqueness na yon. And therefore to say that there is no other such thing as the resurrection of Jesus, we would say precisely because Jesus' resurrection is unique. Then some others will use the idea of reconstruction, that is, they will reconstruct the events. A popular one is that Jesus did not really die. You know, some cults are using this, JWs, and many liberals are saying Jesus was put in the grave without consciousness, and many thought that he was dead, and therefore, soon enough, he revived and rose from the tomb and left it empty. This is so ridiculous. It does not even deserve an answer. But isipin niyo yung mga pinagdaanan ni Jesus at pagkatapos inilibing siya, ang sinasabi nila, yung kahinaan na pinagdaanan niya, itinulak lang yung bato, at mga ganyan, ipapakita ko sa inyo yung bato mismo ng burial site. Besides pa yung bato doon sa libingan, itinulak niyang lahat yun para makalabas. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And remember, we were discussing the centurion. I mean, these are seasoned soldiers who knew their business. And their business was to put the criminal to death. And when they found Jesus already dead, instead of breaking his legs as they did of two other crucified criminals, they speared him in order that to ensure his death. And now, are they saying that all these people were duped by this idea that Jesus wasn't dead? And as we shall see, everything was done to make sure that Jesus was dead. But there is a popular reinterpretation that even evangelicals, without realizing it, are embracing. And this is the spiritualizing of the resurrection, meaning Jesus rose from the dead in the sense that he gave Christians a new lease in their faith, etc. You see this in a popular hymn. Alam niyo yung awit na yan. Diba? He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. And then you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Now that sounds very pious. But if you want to know that Jesus lives, I want something else than your heart. Because the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you're going to make such a stupendous claim, that Jesus rose from the dead, tell me something more than your hurt. Halimbawa, tumaan ka sa husgado at sabihin niya na paano mo masasabing ang taong yun ay buhay pa? Pwede mo bang sabihin, damang-dama ko siya sa aking puso? Hindi pwede yun. You have to show certification by way of evidences that he truly is alive. So, there are always rumors, Elvis Presley is still alive, and others will show me proofs. And none has been presented except this very subjective element, and that is not how we know Jesus is alive because of someone's hurt. So, ibahin natin ito. But you see, the claim of the resurrection puts forward a dilemma for all. And I think Josh McDowell gives that dilemma a very eloquent presentation. I have come to the conclusion that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most wicked, vicious, heartless hoaxes ever foisted upon the minds of men, or it is the most fantastic fact of history. That's the choice. You see, some people will avoid this dilemma by saying, well, that's the claim of Christianity. Certainly, Jesus is special. But they don't want to say that it is true, but therefore it is not real that he rose from the dead, but Christians are still okay. No, that's not possible. If Christianity is not true, it's not okay. It means Christianity is a lie. It's a hoax. So it's either your choice is to say that the resurrection did not happen, therefore Christianity is a hoax, is a cruel lie, or it did happen. So why do we say it happened? So the facts. Next week, God willing, we shall look at the meaning, like we did on the cross. The facts of the cross and then the meaning of the cross. Today, the facts of the resurrection, and then next week, the meaning of the resurrection. Well, tingnan muna natin the pre-resurrection background. And of course, the pre-resurrection background is built upon the case of Christ being dead. In fact, everything was done to make sure Jesus was dead. Remember, Jesus' crucifixion was a public spectacle. There were people watching. And the most important, as I already mentioned, were the soldiers. This is a grotto in Lourdes, in France. And that portrays the presence of soldiers. And again, as I've said, these are seasoned soldiers. There have been many crucifixions during this period. At one point, during the Maccabean period, some 800 Pharisees were crucified at the same time. So crucifixion is something that happened regularly on the worst criminals. And these were the people, the soldiers, knew when a criminal was dead. Alam nila, kaya huwag nating sabihin na hindi nila alam. So this is the fact that Jesus was made sure to have been dead. And then when he was dead, his body was taken to be buried. It was buried in the tomb of someone else's ownership, Joseph of Arimathea. And that tomb was made sure it was sealed. Not only sealed, It was sealed by a stone. The stone had the Roman seal, so it was preventive of any attempt. Not only that, hindi pa nagkasya doon, soldiers were put on duty 24/7 on that burial site. So that was what was done to make sure that Jesus was dead. And yung uri ng tomb during that period, it's like this. No, that is not the burial site of Jesus. It's a replica of what might have happened. This is what the stone was. So, niro-roll yan, tinatakpan, and it takes several men in order to do the rolling. So, ganyan ang stone na itinakip sa tomb ng ating Panginoon. So, it was, in fact, very detailed. There were guards posted. Now, ang tawag sa kanila ay the Roman Watch. A Roman Watch would be composed of four soldiers with shifting duty. So, palitan sila. Two guards, yung dalaway nagpapahinga. After that, palitan. Just to make sure that no time during the posting of the watch, that there was no time that all were sleeping. Two at least should be awake, guarding the tomb. And then something else that we should not forget, the disciples, they fled. Tumaka sila. They were afraid that there might follow a persecution of the followers of Jesus. And so they fled. In fact, some of them went back to fishing with grave disappointment. Remember, they were called from fishing by Jesus. Their going back to fishing is a sign of turning their back to the call of Jesus. They accepted the very disappointing proposition that Jesus died. Everybody has seen it. So this is the pre-resurrection fact that Jesus was dead. Now, let's consider the post-resurrection sequence. This is a very detailed account. One scholar said, Wilbur Smith, we know more about the burial of the Lord Jesus than we know of the burial of any single character in all of ancient history. We know infinitely more about his burial than we do the burial of any Old Testament character, of any king of Babylon, pharaoh of Egypt, any philosopher of Greece, or triumphant Caesar. Kasi talagang dinetalye yung pagkamatay, pagkalibing sa Panginoon, at ito'y tutumpan ng sa kanyang resurrection. And the resurrection claim is built on eyewitness accounts. So, kung tayo nasa court, magbibigay tayo ng mga exhibits. Exhibit A, exhibit B, for evidence. What are our evidential exhibits? The materials and facts that corroborate eyewitness accounts. Yan ang mga uri ng evidences tinatanggap sa korte. Eyewitness accounts plus exhibits of corroborating material evidences. And our first material evidence is the empty tomb. So people, the disciples came there and found, what they would have found is something like this, that the stone was rolled, wala na, and then the grave clothes were properly arranged, and the tomb was empty. Now, what's the significance of the empty tomb? It means it is the actual body that rose, the body that is in the tomb. You see, if you spiritualize it, at least the body should be there. Or if he, kung anumang mga theory, ay ito ang isang ebidensya, it's no longer there. So whatever rose, it has to be the physical body of Jesus. Now, that will be significant when we talk of the resurrection of believers on the last day. That what will be raised is the same body. The same body that we have had on earth, exactly that will be the same body that will be, that we will be rising with, but glorified. Now, you may wish to God that it's not the same body for you, but that will be it. I cannot promise any other body than your body now. But this is what the disciples will see when they go to the empty tomb and the grave clothes. Again, the evangelists seem to have given this interest na yung grave clothes na iwan. And that again means Jesus was glorified. He just rose, and the grave clothes did not go with his body. It's a different kind of body in the sense that it is glorified, but it is the body that was buried in the tomb. So yung inilibing, iyon ang binuhay. Now, later on, there would be many superstitions surrounding the grave clothes. Nasaan na yun? So, may mga nag-claim, eto yun. And so, there have been many claims of relics of the grave clothes. We discussed last time about the Shroud of Turin and many others. the grave clothes are presented not as an object of reverence or superstition, but as evidence of the risen body of Jesus. So that was the case. And then, what happened to the guards? Well, Matthew gives us the most credible account. So, nag-report ang mga guards, and the authorities were afraid of this news, news spreading out. So, they bribed the guards. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were directed. The story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now, if the authorities believed that this was stolen, the body was stolen, what should have been done to the guards is kill them. That's what the law would require. Now, the fact that the authorities bribed them means that even the authorities had no refutation of the evidence. I mean, sino mga ngas, andyan ang mga guards, if the lowly disciples, mere fishermen, will attack the tomb, eh, hindi yun ang report ng mga guards. Something else, roll that stone, and then nagpanakbuhan sila because of the earthquake, etc. And now, Matthew's account is that they were bribed. Then, this time, let's consider eyewitnesses. I have there the sequence of eyewitnesses, and I can only cite some highlights. The first thing is that the women visited. Now, here is an important point why it belies the fabrication theory. You know, the theory that Christians only fabricated the idea that Jesus rose from the dead. If I were fabricating something, I will present the best evidences. But what the Gospels tell us is that it was the women who first became eyewitnesses of the resurrection. In fact, one of them chosen was Mary Magdalene. It's a Renaissance painting. But if I were building up a case that I know is just fabrication, I should give the best evidences, and women, I'm sorry to say, in the first century, were not considered credible witnesses. In fact, they were not qualified to testify in court. They would not be allowed to take the witness stand because in the mindset of that time, women were not credible witnesses. I don't believe that. I'm just telling you the facts of the first century. So, kung ako yung nagbibuild ng case for the resurrection, why would I use women? I would use the most credible personality. But in this case, it's women. Mary Magdalene was used. And then, the next highlight is that two disciples walking to Emmaus met this man who they did not recognize to be Jesus at first, hanggang dumating sila sa bahay. And when Jesus broke the bread, it's when they recognized him to be Jesus. Jesus vanished. The two disciples ran to the apostles to report their experience. And again, you see here the point that they were not people eager to believe that he was risen. They have accepted, maybe there's still some denial, but they have accepted the fact that the man who they put their hope upon, Jesus, was dead. And in fact, so widespread is the belief. Anong sabi nila kay Jesus, are you the only one in Jerusalem who does not know these things? Which means this is widespread knowledge. Everybody knew of the death of Jesus. So the men to Emmaus. And then on that first Sunday of the resurrection, the disciples, meaning the 11, were gathered in a room, most probably the same upper room where they had the Lord's Supper. Suddenly, Jesus appeared. So when Jesus appeared, and that's when we find Jesus greeting them, and by greeting them, the disciples at last came to believe. Stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Oh, I shouldn't say 11 disciples. They were 10. One was absent. Thomas was absent. So the disciples, the 10 disciples, immediately looked for Jesus, or for Thomas. And here is something that we must try to practice ourselves. When we receive a blessing on the Lord's Day, tell it around. Tell it to people who were absent in church. Tell them what they missed. So they came to Thomas, told him, "The Lord is risen." And Thomas said, "Unless I see the wounds in his hands and side, I will not believe." So here again is the point that they have all come to accept that Jesus was dead. And then, the next Lord's Day, and this is significant, Jesus chose in his first appearances to appear to the gathered church on Sundays. First two Sundays. So he is here making a change. We'll discuss that more next week. But the point is that Jesus chose to appear on a Sunday, first day of the resurrection. Then the next appearance to the gathered disciples is on the next Sunday. This time, Thomas was present. Now, we do not know the mindset of Thomas, and perhaps iniisip niya, "I proved these brothers fools for even thinking that Jesus rose from the dead." And then, behold, Jesus rose from the Jesus appeared to them, and we all know the confession of Thomas when he saw the wounds. And Jesus said, "It is I." And his confession, the Bible tells us, John 20:28, "My Lord and my God." It's a plain sound, a direct answer. So don't believe the iglesia if they tell you Thomas was shocked. Nagulat si Thomas. At kahit magulat si Thomas bilang Hudyo, hindi niya being Panginoon ko at Diyos ko, mga Pilipino lang gumagawa nun. Pero ang sinabi sa John 20:28, Thomas answered and said. So it's a deliberate answer. This is the confession of a man confronted with the reality of the risen Jesus, "My Lord and my God." So, confession of Thomas, and then you have the next individual confrontation is with Peter, when Jesus asked him after fishing, when Jesus asked him three times, corresponding to the three denials. Jesus asked him, "Do you love me more than this?" And we know that Peter answered, "Yes, I love you." And then the commission, "Feed my lamb." Then after this was the ascension, where he was seen by a multitude of his disciples, and there we see the disciples then saw Jesus risen and then ascending. The final witness, eyewitness, was Paul. Let's not forget to Paul's experience and to Paul's interpretation, his conversion at Damascus Road was also his commission as apostle, and the proof of that is that Jesus, as the risen Jesus, showed himself to Paul and sent him. So, ang sabi nga ni Paul, he is the final witness, the final one called to be an apostle. He appeared to James, verse 7, then to all the apostles. Verse 8, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. That is the final resurrection appearance to a man, to Paul. Anyone claiming after that Jesus in his recent person appeared to him is a lie. The next appearance of Jesus in that capacity is the second coming. Between the final appearance to Paul until the second coming, no man can claim that Jesus has appeared to him. So that is our claim. And so these are the facts, brethren. And the facts are important to us. You know, there are some who say this is known as the Voltaire's wager. According to Voltaire, always bet on Christianity. Because if it is true, you will go to heaven. If it is not true, you're at least happy. And that is wrong. If Christianity is not true, there's no consolation prize. If Christianity is not true, this is what Paul said. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. We are of all men most miserable. So it's not that we are still happy at least. No, if we are building our faith on a hoax, then Christianity is not true. Then we are miserable. But, and the greatest but is that in fact Christ has been raised from the dead. This is the case for the exclusiveness of the Christian faith. Only the Christian claims that we have a Savior and Lord who died an atoning death, was buried, and rose from the dead. No one else. Therefore, there is no other faith that saves than the Christian faith. Those are the facts. And Christianity, through the 2,000 years of its proclamation, has always been ready to take any case that will deny the resurrection of Jesus, because on this we are most confident our Savior is risen. Any question? Any question? Clarification? John?
When Jesus appeared to Paul, is that after the ascension? And if that was after the ascension, then what do we rely? Is the Bible verse shown earlier the one that we rely on to verify that there will be no more appearances after Jesus appeared physically to Paul? Why did he come back after the ascension just so he could appear to Paul?
Well, Paul, as we know, is a special case. Special case among the apostles. That's why he tells of himself that he was one like untimely born. He was not at the right time as the other apostles were. And Jesus, as it were, made an exceptional case of Paul. And Paul proved to be an exceptional case of an apostle. So, yes, it happened after the ascension. And it appears that Jesus made an exception of Paul to commission him with a special commission of an apostleship to the Gentiles. And yet, Paul himself said, last. That's the last of its kind. There will be no other resurrection appearances similar to his appearances, to his eyewitnesses, to his chosen eyewitnesses. So, huwag tayong gumawa ng sariling pag-aangkin. The resurrection appearance of Jesus to us is through his word. And every Lord's Day that we gather together, that's when we testify our Lord is risen. Other questions? Ben?
Pastor, how do we respond or what can we say about people nowadays who are claiming they rose again from the dead? They were dead and then they became alive again. Especially they're using it to back up or as evidence of Christian claims of Christianity.
Well, there have been cases of that sort na pronounced dead and then it turned out that they were not dead. And that is because if we define death simply as the doctor's pronouncement that the heart has stopped, we're giving death a medical definition that may not be adequate. So sa medical definition, they would be considered dead, but scriptures give us a different definition. It is when the spirit is not in the body that it is dead. And then, when we talk of the resurrection of Jesus, it is not like the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus was revived from death, but of course later on, Lazarus himself died. So it was not a glorified body resurrection. So, himala na binuhay siya sa patay, pero hindi ito ang pagkabuhay na muli na inaangkin natin para sa ating Panginoong Jesucristo. So anyone making such a claim, first check if he has a glorified body. And I'm sure on that very first evaluation, he will fail. Paul.
Pastor, aside from the Bible, can we cite another historical writing or document that mentions the resurrection?
Not as an eyewitness account, but corroborations of pagan writings citing that this is the claim of Christians. And then besides that, let us remember we are using the gospel documents at this point as historical documents. Next Lord's Day, we will use them as a deposit of authoritative teaching. But at this point, simply as historical documents, they are consistent and they are presented as eyewitness accounts. Therefore, very significant of the resurrection claim. And remember, one other significant thing I had not mentioned is that there were no countering accounts of the contemporary period. Ibig sabihin, walang nag-counter na, ay, hindi totoo yan, nakita ko yung katawan sa tomb 10 days after, etc. Walang ganun. No counter refutation of the eyewitness claims of the disciples. And that certainly is significant. Other questions? Jim.
Pastor, is there a significance or what could be the significance of Jesus appearing to Mary first? Because one of my colleagues in this morning period encouraged me na she said that Jesus appeared to Mary first because Mary used to weep, and that seeing Jesus, she is filled with joy, and that's like an accomplishment of the promise that sorrow may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning when she saw the Lord resurrected. Tama po ba yung ganong interpretation?
Yes, certainly. There is significance in the choice of Mary as the first eyewitness, the account of the Gospels. Concerning Mary was that not very flattering in the sense that her past, no, it's not prostitution, as the later traditions would say. We don't have that in the Gospels. Well, what we do have is that she has suffered with demonic harassment, etc. So there is a dark past to Mary, and that makes it indeed very significant that Jesus would appear to her before anyone else is among his disciples. And certainly the fact that Mary was weeping, mourning the death of her Savior shows that one effect of the resurrection is to turn mourning to joy and our sorrow to gladness. And next week we will see how the resurrection hope is a way for us to deal with our mourning in a way that is Christian, because there is resurrection hope that unbelievers do not have. Tina.
Pastor, I really thank the Lord po yung pong sa lesson po natin. The facts of the empty tomb is a great blessing for me. Christ rose from the dead. It is victory po. He defeated the enemy of my soul. And in times of doubts, pains, fears, trials, the idea of my risen Savior gives me an endless hope that Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who told us that peace be with you, is my King who is looking at me from his throne. He is able to deliver me from all the ills that this earthly life may bring, and where the evil reigns for a time might try to harm me. While I'm looking forward to see Him in my glorified state, my faith placed me not in a miserable state. So I glory on the cross and on the empty tomb, and I praise my risen and victorious, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you, Tina. And that should be what we try to cultivate sa ating response to the resurrection of Jesus. Again, the thought that He is risen and is not dead. Remember the words of the angels, why do you seek Him here? He is not here, for He is risen. So, meaning the Lord Jesus is one who deals with us in our present because He is alive. He is not a mere memory. He is a presence for every Christian in whatever state he may be in. John?
Sir, I think I've asked this before, pero ano na rin lang for everyone's sake. How do you deal with, how should Christians reconcile certain differences in the accounts? Like, in Mark, the women were afraid to tell everyone and told no one. In Matthew, the women were afraid, but they rushed to tell the disciples. And then there were other cases, like you saw a number of angels appearing in the tomb. And, I mean, like in general, how should Christians treat these differences of passages? Probably similar din dun sa this morning's message about the same centurion in different writers' accounts said different phrases.
Well, they're not actually discrepancies, but complementation of eyewitnesses from different angles. You know, when a case is being established in court, several eyewitnesses will be presented. Now, one eyewitness may say of what happened from his perspective, let's say from the window he was watching, and then another from the on the street, and another still from another perspective. Now, hindi sasabihin ng huwes, the judge will not say that you're saying different things, so you're contradicting each other, therefore you're not credible. Rather, what they will do is combine together those eyewitness accounts and then make a case for how it happened sequentially. Now, that's what we did on your handouts. The sequence, as told by several eyewitnesses, at dun sa angels 2 or 1, it's just like Matthew telling us there were two blind men as Jesus approached Jericho, and Luke tells us there was one blind man, he named Bartimaeus. And so they say, they immediately jump to the conclusion, there's contradiction. One says 2, another says 1. I say, not at all. If there were 2, there must be 1. So if one account focuses on one and not on the second, that's not contradiction. So we've studied this in the Doctrine of the Word or Bibliology in JMA, and there are books written to answer these so-called discrepancies, and they show they are not discrepancies at all, but differences of eyewitness accounts that complement when combined together. Yeah.
Pastor, it seems na hindi siya na-recognize nung ang Panginoon nung during his resurrection in case of Mary Magdalene, akala niya gardener, and dun sa two disciples sa road to Emmaus, hindi rin siya nakilala. So is it intentional? And second is, ano po yung significance ng statement ng Panginoon kay Mary Magdalene na sabi niya, do not cling to me for I have not yet ascended to the Father?
Well, una doon sa hindi siya agad nakilala, one reason would most probably be that there were changes in the body when glorified. The traces of sin in your corrupt stage would have been removed because 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that corruption will put on incorruption. So everything mortal will put on immortality. So So there would have been changes, although it is still the same body. It is still the same body, but it has changed into a glorified state. And in that state, he was not immediately recognizable as he appeared on the, during the time before his resurrection. And you will find that he would often say, "It is I." That would be probably the explanation as to what he told Mary. I think it is just to make the point that to distinguish himself from, because of his now, of now his recent state, there was now a distinction. Later on, he would ask the disciples to touch. He asked Thomas to touch his hands and his wound on the side. Also, a deeper significance, I can accept. Other thoughts? So I hope there will be no doubting Thomases amongst us. Instead, that we embrace fully and totally the basic Christian confession that he who died on the cross is risen again, he is alive, and is on the throne. Let us pray. Our great God and gracious Father, we thank you indeed for this truth established by eyewitnesses' account and clearly held and embraced by all Christians from the past and in the present, that Jesus, the one who died on the cross for our redemption and having been buried, rose from the dead on the third day. We ask, O Lord, that there will be no vestige of doubt that remains in us. And if there is any, remove this and may we learn to confess with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And we pray that we may not yield to any rationalization, reconstruction, or even reinterpretation of the physical resurrection of Jesus. We confess that the one who died and was buried in the tomb was the same one who rose from the dead, now with glorified body, and he left the tomb empty. We do not have any pilgrimage to a holy tomb. Our full reverence is to him who rose from the dead. And every time we are gathered on the Lord's Day, we confess that as a church, that we are serving and we are worshiping the risen Lord. May it even deal with our present state, as we know that we are dealing with one who is not just a mere memory to us, but one who is risen and is able to deal with our present condition, from our needs and miseries, our depression and grieving. We ask that we may know that as Christians we have the resurrection hope, and we pray that we may deal with our own concerns on a day-to-day basis, because Jesus is risen. So we return to you our worship and our thanks, and may you help us apply this to our day-to-day life, even on this day of the Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.